I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. Janie Jerkovich found herself on a new path in her 60s after her marriage broke up. Truthfully, she wasn't living the life she wanted. Now she had to find out who she was and what made her happy. In the process, she discovered she had the ability to be a spirit medium, which took her down a whole new career path. Today, we chat about her journey to finding herself and the lessons she has learned about starting over in her 60s. Janie Jerkovich, welcome to Soul Sister Conversations.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm delighted to have this conversation with you. Your tagline is encouraging women to live their best lives. And I think this is going to be such an encouraging conversation, especially for older women. So I'm anxious to dive in. You say after 35 years of marriage and family devotion, your relationship was over. And along with that, you realized your true self had been lost too. And truthfully, you say you never truly lived the life you wanted to live. Thus began a journey of self-discovery, which is taking you on a whole new path in your 60s. And today you're an author of 6 books. 3 of them are top sellers and a contributor to an international Amazon best-selling travel book, a speaker, competitive athlete, business owner, and world traveler. And this, you say, is the life you imagine living. But can you take us back a little bit to your point of personal crisis? Like, what was going on in your life and how long ago was that?
Let's see. It was about 8 years ago now. And I was working my butt off. I had 3 jobs. I have a big house out in the country. And there's, you know, a lot to do and a lot of bookkeeping and stuff like that. And my husband was not working and he hadn't been working for a year. And he, you know, I'm sure he was depressed and everything about that. But I was just trying to keep my head above water. And he just kind of had his own personal crisis. And it was like, you know, I can't shoulder any more of the burden. It was just too much. Like I was going to bed at midnight, getting up at 6. So I was sleep deprived and actually kind of rummy, that because I found out later, if you don't get enough sleep, that you're, it's the same thing as being legally drunk. And that's kind of, I was in a daze. So what happened was he just got kind of upset, pissed off, whatever you want to call it, one time, and he just left. And he threw some of his stuff in his car and he drove off. And I was like, well, good. He needs some time, you know, away. And you know, maybe he'll get his head on straight. But for me, so I knew I had done everything I could to help him. And whatever it was, wasn't working. So I figured that's his thing. But I got to worry about me. And I was more worried about losing my house because I had recently started a job as a real estate broker. And that is commission. So I was worried about that. And I didn't want to lose my house because we finally had a house that I wanted because he had been in the military. So you move all the time and it's hard to have roots. So I didn't want to start over at 60 because I had put my heart and soul in this house and my inheritance. So I didn't want to like sell it and lose everything. So I was really worried about survival. And I knew there was one thing I could not do is I could not work any harder. Like, I was already exhausted from working so much. So I said, life can't be like this. This can't be all there is, that you work your butt off and then you get to be this age and all you get to do is more of it. So, and I was kind of worried about being a bag lady, like, well, what happens if I don't make any money and stuff like that. So it was a crisis for me to figure out how I was going to fix my life. And so I started spending quiet time and thinking and pondering and which is really weird because and before that I would never spend 5 minutes to do anything like read a book or something unless it was for work. So I started spending that time because I was just like mentally screwed up to like not being capable of talking with other people because, you know, my emotions were all over the place. So I kept going to the marriage counselor on my own. And I spent quiet time. And then after a while, I started hearing voices, like you could call it intuition. You could call it your higher self. You could call it God or whatever, spirit guides. That's what I call it. and I would get some insights on how to fix my life. And so that really helped me. Of course, I was afraid to tell anybody.
Were you hearing like actual voices, or were they coming like your thoughts, your sound?
Well,
I couldn't figure it out
at first, but some of the things were, of course, some of the things were things that I'd heard of before, but a lot of the stuff wasn't. So it was like, after a while, it was like, this can't be me. So a friend of mine, I confided in her and she said, oh, that's your spirit guides. And so I kept working on that every day. Like,
And did you just accept that and go, okay, it's my spirit guides? Or did you were like, okay, it's my spirit guides?
Well, it was kind of hard at first. I must admit that, because I'd never heard of that. And then I Googled it after she told me, and then other people had that experience. So I figured I wasn't 100% crazy. But I would say, you know, I was trying to figure stuff out, and I knew first off that I needed more sleep, because that was totally life changing. Once I got a good night's sleep after he left, because I just wasn't sleeping well at all. And then you come out of the clouds and you can think clearly. And then I realized, you know, I was eating pretty healthy and I was exercising, but I needed to work on that some more. And then there's other stuff like making sure you have the time to meditate or be quiet. But I was working on all that stuff and listening to podcasts and reading books and stuff. And one day I was driving and I didn't even know what it was. Like, all these thoughts came to me. And then I realized later that it was a download, like a divine download of all these tips that you need to do to live your best life. So I pulled over to the side of the road and started writing it down. And then I turned those tips one at a time into a weekly post on social media. And then my friends were, you know, reading it. And I mean, because I didn't know if anybody would read it or not, but people started commenting and saying, well, what are you going to write about next week? And that kind of thing. So that kind of motivated me to make sure I finished it. And then one day in my meditation practice, which I didn't even know that's what it was until I started figuring out stuff, the voices clearly told me to write a book with these steps. So the first book was Live the Life You Have Imagined. And that's what it's derived from. And I didn't, for a long time, I didn't tell anybody how that came about, but it kind of popped out in a podcast interview with some friends that are a Christian-based platform. And so I wrote the book and they gave me deadlines. It was really interesting. They gave me a month.
Your spirit guides gave you deadlines.
Yes, they gave me a deadline. And
how demanding.
Yes. And I thought, okay, I'll do this and then my life will be good, right? And it's a good thing they gave me a deadline, because then I would get it done. So I got it done. And I think it was like at the end of 2016. So like at midnight on the end of December that year, I got it done. And just a draft. And then I thought, whew. And then they go, okay, now we want you to write another book about what your personal journey about getting a divorce and starting over at 60. And so I'm like, okay, so I did that, and that became Single and 60. And then I thought, phew, I got that one done. And then they said, now we want you to write another one, Single Woman's Guide to Happiness. And I did write it, and it is in draft, but I haven't gotten it published. And I know I need to get that done. But they only told me I had to get it draft. They didn't tell me I had to publish it.
Well, that's interesting. So what happens when you have this sense that you're supposed to write a book and you sit down? When you sit down to write, do you hear the thoughts flowing? Is it like channeling, like something outside of yourself
through you? Not when I'm writing those books, but later on, that's what happened. Those books, you know, I had the notes from my blogs to do the first one. And then the Single and 60, I just looked through my daily journal, you know, to kind of realize all the different steps I went through. And then I just broke them into chapters. It was actually pretty simple. You know, like the Single and 60, it was more like going through my journal going, okay, well, first I figured out this and then I figured out that. And, you know, and it's things like different challenges I had around my property, things I had to learn how to fix, or that I finally learned the importance of having girlfriends, because I mean, who had time for that? I was busy working and raising a family and keeping the house. Mm. So I never really developed friendships with girls. So, and or even the value of networking and how, I mean, because I went to a lot of networking events with guys and girls, but it never helped me make any deals in real estate. But what it did help me with is when I had this crisis, then I had, you know, I knew somebody that was a financial planner. I knew somebody that did trusts and wills. And I knew people that, you know, to help me get the divorce and that kind of stuff. So it ended up being like a life skill help, not work help. So that's how I wrote the first ones. And then on the single guide, Single Woman's Guide to Happiness, I just kind of, you know, going through my journal and realizing what things actually made me happy. And it's suggestions on that kind of stuff. But then later on, I was told, my spirit guides told me that they told me your life's mission will be to write these books and they told me to get ready. They said, get ready and get some good pens and pencils or pens and paper. So I went to
very old school.
Yeah. No, that's how it was done. So they said, do that. So I went to like the office supply store and I bought the fanciest pens that I thought I could write fastest with, like because of the flowing in the ink. Mm-hmm. And I bought like, I didn't even know they had this stuff because I was too cheap to ever pay for it. But they have like you can buy the front and the back binders, like really nice, and then nice lined paper and you put it together. And so I bought all that stuff and I just waited. And then they started waking me up in the middle of the night. They'd wake me up about between 2 and 4 in the morning. And I'd get up and I'd write. And of course, at first I was like falling asleep. And then I just go back to bed. But after a while I got the hang of it and I'd get up and write, I would handwrite it. And they would tell me, you know, the book became the new I Am document, Volume 1. So each chapter is a lesson. And so they'll tell you what the lesson is and they'll give some examples. They're very simple and like, it's kind of, I mean, I compare it to the Bible or some religious book, but you don't have to go to church and have your pastor explain it to you. It's like about fifth grade level. And it's lessons that most of them we have heard, but people don't practice. Because if they did, the world would be a totally different place. Because it's all about how to treat people and how we're all connected. The overlying theme is that we're all connected. And a lot of people don't get that. But when you read the book, you'll start to understand that. They would like dictate it and I would write it down and I'd be exhausted. So I'd do one or two lessons and then I'd go back to bed and I'd get up in the morning and I'd go read it because I remember I got up and did it, but I wouldn't remember the lesson. Right. So I'd get up and I'd read it and I go, well, this sounds pretty good. I couldn't have made this up. So I wasn't, you know, at first I was, because the stuff they told me at the beginning about why we're here and how this all happened and the purpose. And I was like, well, that's pretty weird to me. I never heard any of this stuff, but spiritual people do know that. I mean, like I didn't understand about past lives and how we come to earth to learn and that we're really spirit. We're not human bodies. We're in spirit form and how we're all part of one big consciousness. So those were some pretty way out things for me to even think about. But once I went over it enough and, you know, asked questions in my quiet time, everything started to meld together. But so that's the best way to write a book, if you ask me. I mean, I didn't like getting up early. I do remember one time I said, do you think we could do this later in the, you know, like at 5:30 or 5 or something? Because I said, how am I ever going to get a boyfriend or a husband? Am I going to say, I'm completely normal. I just said, I get up every night in the middle of the night and I transcribe
and write
and go back to bed. But, like, it's going to be really hard to find anybody. So eventually I got good enough so I could do it all the time. I mean, I could get up in the morning and go do it. So I think what happens is you get so connected that, and you learn to live in that place where you're more relaxed and life is peaceful and things flow. And you're just like that all the time, like 24/7. So then you don't have to do it in the middle of the night. And then, you know, after I was doing this, I thought, I wonder why, how this happens, why? And so I checked a couple of things online. I had heard about Neil Donald Walsh, and he said that he would get woken up in at like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I read some other articles that said that's people that have this experience. And I was totally shocked. There was lots of people that could have done this and transcribed books. And that's usually the window. And of course, that explained what happens, but I didn't know why. So then I ran across Dr. Joe Dispenza's, one of his courses on Gaia, and he talked about how your brain waves are different. And so that in the middle of the night like that, that's when you're more susceptible. You're more at the right frequency. And he actually teaches people how to do that, how to get to that place. And I thought, geez, they teach classes on this, and I figured it out. That's kind of amazing. But I have to say, I was really, really determined.
Can we go back a little bit to where you began with this personal crisis and then all of this unfolded? Because you said you had to figure some things out. Did you set out then on a journey of self-discovery?
Yes.
Yeah, with all this. And what were you looking for? Because you were talking about you just had to be in survival mode. But you talk about you weren't really ever living the life you imagined or wasn't your true self. You know, at what point did you begin to feel like this is my true self? Like how long were you studying?
I think it's taken a few years, and it's a continuing upgrade all the time. Like you just keep learning. Like I would say even in the last 1 to 2 years, I finally got to that place. I'd say more like 2 years ago, I finally got to that place where I don't care what people say or think about me. Because, and that's, for most people, that's a really big thing. Because.
And what made you shift to that space? Is that just a, well, a I was function reading, of growing older? Or no, what I was, thought process?
I belong to an online education platform called Mind Valley. And Vishon Lakhiani, he's written some books, and he talked about how you have to learn to be unfuckwithable. And I was like, I can't even say that word, right? but I got a T-shirt that said it, and I started to practice it, and that was helpful because then I was strong enough to set boundaries. Like if people wanted to guilt you into doing something, you could be strong enough and say, no, I don't want to do that. And you don't have to make a bunch of excuses. You can just say no, and that's a complete sentence. So that's kind of something I had to learn. And then it was really crucial for me to learn to have that attitude where I don't care. And I don't mean it in a sense, you know, some people think that that's being rude. It means that you don't attach any meaning to what others think of how you're living your life. Like you don't change things because other people say, well, you can't do that or you shouldn't do it. You go ahead and you listen to them, and you can be nice and you can say, thank you very much, but you can go do what you want and feel free to do so. But for me, it was really important to learn that and get it ingrained and figure out how to set boundaries and figure out what I really want and don't want. Because as women, a lot of times we just do stuff because we feel like we should. And we need to be brave enough to say no. But I really had to learn that so that I could own my truth, which is that I am a spirit medium. And, you know, I can, because I've learned to live in that vibration where I feel connected all the time. I mean, I can just sit and talk to people that I've, you know, that have passed away and find out something. Or I
literally have a conversation.
Yes, yes. And I can connect to like someone's Akashic record keeper and find out certain that like there's something they want to know, or like I've done it for myself. Like what's in there and what am I supposed to be doing and stuff like that. And I've been able to tap into many, many of my own past lives. In fact, I have a book in progress on that. And that's totally like, that's the coolest thing. So I know I can do it. And for me, it's my life. And if people don't accept that, that's fine. It doesn't bother me that if they think I'm a wacko. But I can tell them.
How did you know over the past 8 years, how do you know now? And obviously you can hear yourself embracing yourself, the fact that you've developed or tapped into this ability. How did you know you were beginning to reconnect with your true self? When did you start feeling that sense?
You start feeling better. Esther Hicks talks about using your guidance system. And you really got to do that. Like that's a lot of people call it your gut instinct or something like that, or your intuition, but you really need to connect to that. So once you start living your truth and you figure out what things bring you joy and happiness, and you figure out how to do more of those, and the things that you don't like, you figure out how to delegate them or don't do them or something like that. I mean, there's still a certain amount of things that we have to do we don't like pay bills and pay taxes, but If you know, there are things you can do, like hire people that, like, if you don't like mowing the lawn, then hire somebody to mow the lawn. And maybe you're worried about the money, but figure out another way or ask God to figure out the money part. So, yeah. Once I started doing it, I think you asked me something about how did I know it was working?
Well, yeah, you were connecting to that true self that you felt yourself coming back to life. How did you know when that was happening?
Oh, I feel so much happier and joyful, and I had a smile on my face. I wasn't, you know, stressed and that kind of thing. And I would say as I was making this transition, I'd say about 2 years after my former husband left, I would go to like an event where I hadn't seen people in a year or something. And they would literally say, Janie, what happened to you? You look like a different person. Because I was, instead of being stressed Janie, serious Janie, I was like happy and carefree and more outgoing. My cousins even said, I went to visit one of my cousins, and there's four of them in that family. And they said, we want to know what happened to you. Like, are you taking drugs or something? Because people that knew me even said you're different. But what happens is you feel different about yourself, and you kind of change from the inside out. So once you fix the inside, then you come out as a happier person, and you know, you're smiling more. But it takes some work figuring out. I mean, when you're so used to spending all your energies taking care of someone or something else, you don't even know what you need to make yourself happy or feel good. So for me, it was being outside and being with animals and just, you know, relaxing.
Because this personal crisis opened you up to really a new way of living, life. You say in your 60s, obviously you wrote a book about 60 and single. But one of the other things that I think is amazing too, you said you've grown a lot in your time alone, and you travel by yourself. That you would, you know, a lot of people wouldn't fathom of traveling alone, but you took your first international trip alone in 2019. And I'm just curious, what are you learning about that travel? What does traveling by yourself teach you?
I mean, I won't lie. I do get scared. And it's times, you know, where I'm thinking to myself, what the hell are you doing? But then I just tell myself, you can handle it and figure it out. And at least you don't have some grumpy person with you, you know, nagging at you because everything didn't go perfect. And I look at it more like an adventure. Like if you go out of town and you get kind of lost when you're not really the path you thought you were going to be on, well, you just find another path and you get to where you're going. And it's kind of like life. You'll get there eventually, and just don't fret about it. Because if you get upset about it, then you're having an upsetting time. But if you say, okay, well, this is an adventure, then you have a different outlook, and then you're not so worried about that it's going what you think is perfect. But I went to Croatia for 3 weeks, and I went to a Mind Valley conference there. So that's the reason I went, and I stayed like in a local like apartment, and I lived on the economy. And then recently I just went to Europe to five countries for 3 weeks. And most of that was on a guided tour, but I had 2 extra days in the beginning and 2 days at the end that I was on my own. But you get used to it, and then you know, like I had to start out really small. My first thing was I drove to San Francisco by myself, and I don't really like driving in a lot of traffic. And that's about 3.5 or 4 hours from where I live. So that was a big deal to me, like to do that. But I mean, I had to start that small and build my way up to going international by myself. So we should all be inspired. And just because you've never done it doesn't mean you can't. You just have to start small and build up your confidence muscle. This is just like anything else. Same sort of thing I did in running the track. I mean, it just kind of started with walking and then jogging. And then I kind of got talked into going to this team, joining this team. And one thing led to another. And then I'm at nationals and I got in the top 10 in two events. I didn't ever run track in high school or college. So it was a big deal for me. In fact, I remember being in 7th grade and they put me in special PE because I couldn't touch my toes. So that was pretty humiliating. So I've kind of showed them, I could do it. And I figure if I could do that, anybody can. It's just a matter of, do you want to put in the effort and do you really want to, is that one of your goals? So like once I did that, I was like, okay, that's nice. I want to have a different life. I don't want to be training that hard and running 20 to 30 miles a week and not having any social life. I don't want to be like, I might want to have a glass of wine or stay up late once in a while. And you couldn't really do that when you're training. I mean, you could, but then the coach would say, what happened? You're going too slow now. So you couldn't, because your body is so finely tuned that an hour less sleep or one glass of wine will affect your proficiency on the track. So which was pretty amazing to me.
So you've had all these amazing experiences. You travel, you've working out and competing. And do you now see your personal crisis as a spiritual experience? How do you see it?
I think that was like the beginning of it. That was the thing that kickstarted it. But it went to a whole nother level when I finally started dating after a couple of years of being in the process of getting a divorce and trying to fix my life. When my life was semi in order, I started dating. And that's when my real spiritual awakening came, because I met a man that I just felt an instant connection with, and I didn't really know what it was. And all these strange to me things started happening. And that was when it really went pow. I realized that I found out that we had been together in numerous past lives, because I could see all the visions, and I couldn't. And I kept asking my guides, why do I feel like I'm already married to him? And that was weird, just to be dating somebody for a short time. And they said, well, because you used to be married to him. And then I find out more about all the different lives, which I thought were pretty unbelievable. But some of the more recent lives, I couldn't verify that I existed or like that kind of thing. But the information they gave me about where we lived and why we moved from one place to another, all that stuff fits in with American history. So I was able to like kind of verify that.
Interesting.
It was, I was pretty blown away, but honestly, I wouldn't even have thought there was any sort of possibility, but it felt so different with this person. And I finally figured out that we had mental telepathy, that we could read each other's minds, because I would think he was saying something. And I thought, well, that's kind of, it wasn't rude or anything, but it was like a little bit too personal. And then I realized later that I didn't really see his mouth move. So I realized that those were his like inner thoughts.
You guys were very connected.
Right, right. And I had read Ariel Ford's book, Soulmate, something about finding your soulmate. And I was like, yeah, I want to do this. So I would do all the stuff in the book. But it was like, I didn't really think there was such a thing as a soulmate. I just thought that means they're a really good boyfriend. So I was pretty shocked that to get that deep of a connection. So that was pretty strange. And I can still communicate with him, through the mental telepathy. And he has told me things. And then I was able to verify it online. Like he told me that he he bought a new place to live. He told me that he hired two family members to work for him. And I was able to verify that. Like, it just showed up on my social media feed and that they were working there. And I was like, oh man, it must be true. And then I looked up the thing to see if he bought any property. And yeah, he did. And it was like, and it was where he told me it would be. So it's stuff like.
Does this continue to surprise you that this happens to you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. But I don't know why he can't get it.
What does that make you?
I wish, I wish he'd like figure it out. Like, but whatever. One of the things that we're all supposed to learn is to let, I mean, you can still have your dreams and desires and wishes, but you have to let go of the outcome because things are in the hands of God or whoever you think your higher power is. And one of the lessons that they told me, and I think it's in the book, something, at least something similar, is a story. And I'm like, this is me. So I just totally got that they were trying to thinly veil it. There was a woman that wanted to be with this man. And she just, you know, wanted to be with him and wanted to be with him. And God kept saying, no, he's not ready. You know, he still needs to do some growing. And she just was relentless. And so finally God said, okay, you can have him. So when she was with him, she could see that, you know, he had so many problems and life was not so wonderful. So then she realized that God was right and that she should just wait for God's timing. So that's one of the things, you know, I'm just like, okay, I'm, because I've been waiting 6 years for this guy to figure it out. And and it's like my friends go, you're nuts. And I go, yeah, but, you know, if it's meant to be, you know, like I should hold out. But finally, I just said, okay, I got to start dating other people. So if it happens, it happens. I'm happy about it. But like, you know, I don't want to be alone all the time. That's one of the things that's been a real discovery for me is that, especially during the pandemic, I just got really, really lonely. I mean, I like my ranch. I like being with my animals. But after a while, it was like, let me go talk to somebody. Let me go give somebody a hug.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even realize it until, I mean, I remember we had to order our groceries and you couldn't go in the store. So I ordered the groceries and I went to Walmart to pick them up. And the guy came to the car and I jumped out and I was so happy to see a human being. I almost gave him a hug. I mean, I don't even know him. And he's like, you better step back.
I think we all can relate to that.
Yeah. So it's like, it was hard. I know I don't, I mean, this has been great for my personal growth to be alone and live alone and figure out what works for me and how I need to fashion my day so I can be the kind of person I want to be and get my mission done. Mm. But I'm hoping that it's not like that the rest of my days. I mean, I'm trying to leave some room open. I have started on this volume 2 of the new I Am document. And if I would get caught up on my stuff from returning from my vacation, then I'll finish it. I think I have like 20 chapters left. So it's pretty close to being finished. So
lots in the process.
Right.
One of the things that you talk about is how you broke through limits that society placed on you. And I was just curious, what did you feel those limits were and what did you break through?
Well, one of them was, you know, how you have to cater to everything your parents say. And my dad's passed away, but my mom's still around. And she's pretty, she can be pretty good at laying on the guilt and making you feel less than and then you're not perfect. And so, you know, of course, growing up, then you just want to try to be more and more perfect, right? But you're never going to get there. So I finally had to just say, you know, I'm doing my best and that's all God requires. Cause I was told that that's in the book. I finally said, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I don't care if I'm perfect. So I'm not here to live up to her standards. And so I just put some boundaries on it and I didn't allow her to make me feel guilty. So I think, And the same with friends, you have to learn to say, no, I can't do that. Or I don't want to, I'm not going to be able to help you or just different things, putting boundaries with other people so you can focus on what's important to you. Because if you don't do that, you're going to end up at the end of your life. All you've done is live a life somebody else imagined for you. I don't want to do that. And you know, learned things that if I want something to happen, I have to put in a certain amount of effort. You can't, like, if you want to lose weight, you got to figure out what you have to do. If you're going to work out or watch what you eat, and if you can't figure it out, then you'll get some help from a professional. Can you rephrase what the question was again?
I was just curious, as to what are the limits that you felt society placed on you and how did you break them? So, kind of going against your parents, you set boundaries with friends, you put in the effort. What else did you do? What other limits were on you, JD?
I changed careers. I retired from real estate and began writing books, even though, like, real estate is commission, which is kind of iffy. Writing books is even worse, as far as, like, most authors cannot make a living wage. So traveling alone and then staying in my house, a lot of my friends said, you know, especially when I was going through having to change tires because they were flat, or trying to get all the things done, like the front gate would get stuck shut, or the garage door would break, or electrical problems. And my friends would say, just sell your house and move. And it's like, I'll still have to fix stuff. It might be a smaller place, but I'll still have to fix stuff, but I won't have all this space, to enjoy the outdoors. But so a lot of people I knew thought that was stupid for me to stay here. But to me, it was worth it. And I thought, well, as long as I can afford it and figure it out, I'm going to stay. And I've just got to get better at finding people to help me fix stuff.
Sounded like you got really good at listening to yourself.
Right. I think the mistake that a lot of people make is they listen to others, but they don't listen to people that have done whatever it is they want to do. So, like, if you want to start your own business, and the people you know will say, "Yo, you can't do that. That will never work." Well, are those people business owners? Have they ever done it? Well, probably not, because that's why they're afraid and they're telling you don't do it. So the people that were saying, you know, sell your house, were people that were living in a little apartment because that's all they could handle. You know, so you have to think about who you
are. So not allow other people's limitations be placed on yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, think about it, like, you wouldn't take plumbing advice from your eye doctor. So, like, it's the same kind of thing. Take advice from the people that know what you're talking about, but still listen to yourself, because if you pay attention to your guidance system, it will tell you what you should be doing. Like, I'll give you an example. Just recently, when I was in Europe, they have all these wonderful foods, and especially desserts. And I'm not used to eating desserts every day, but I was having terrible stomach aches because I was eating all this stuff that I'm not used to. I mean, I was trying to be good, but the options were limited. And I noticed that when I went to they have these bakeries on about three on every street corner. They're everywhere. And I started looking at everything, and it's like, well, that looks good. That looks good. And then I started paying attention to my stomach. My brain and my eyes say, oh, that looks good. And my stomach, I could feel it like turning, like, no, do not eat that. So I finally started paying attention to that and felt better. So we have our body will tell us if it's our heart racing or our gut feeling or whatever, but we need to pay attention to it. It's
well, you are certainly an opinion me of someone who, you know, has been thrown a curveball later in life and sort of morphed and transformed yourself and prove that we can do it at any age.
Right.
And be better and come out the other side better and stronger, that personal crisis doesn't have to hold us back. And I'm curious, what is the message that you most want women to hear? And especially if someone's in their 60s and they're facing, you know, career change or crisis or any part of later in life.
The biggest thing I can say, it is never too late to live your best life. You honestly can. Mm. You first have to figure out what that means to you. But the biggest lesson is that you can do it. I mean, until you breathe your last breath, you can keep trying. And so I would encourage people to women to do that. So many of them have lost hope. They think that if they're divorced or their husband passed away, like their life's over. And it's like, well, it's just a different life than what you imagined. It's just different. It doesn't mean it's over. I mean, you can still be healthy and stuff. I mean, women, sometimes they were, I've in my Facebook group, they would say, well, I can't keep my health is failing now and that I'm divorced. And it's like, being divorced or not has nothing to do with your health. That's a personal responsibility. Get out there and, you know, go to the doctor and figure out how to eat right and what kind of movement you can do. That's not dependent on them. And that's not even fair to assign that to them. You know, that's an excuse that doesn't exist. But women need to know they're empowered. And that power is just sitting there waiting for them to grasp it and figure out what they want to do with it and what's going to make them happy. And that we don't, our purpose in life is to figure out, is to learn and grow. And along that way, figure out what makes us happy and figure out how to incorporate it into our lives. And
well, I love that message. And maybe that's a good message to end on, that power, your power is waiting there for you to go out and grab it.
Right.
That, yeah, if you gave your power away, you can actually go take it back.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Is there anything that you want to say that I haven't asked you about?
I would encourage people to check out the new I Am document. And
how do they do that?
The best place is to go to the website, www.thenewiammovement.com. And there's lots of videos that explain it. Some of the videos I talk about the lessons in the book, and you can find out more about my mission and find out, you know, how it can help you in your life, because there's no doubt it will help everybody. Because my goal writing the I Am books is to help raise the consciousness of humanity. And I found out later, after I boldly stated that, that there are lots of us out here that that's our goal in life. That's our mission in life. And it's going to take everybody, because we're all connected, to help make that kind of change in humanity. So I would say go to the website, thenewiammovement.com, see what resonates with you. And, you know, you can always sign up for the periodic, like a newsletter email blast, to kind of keep in touch.
Well, thank you for being a contributor to raising our consciousness and to having this conversation with me today and sharing your story. And I hope that there's some messages in there that resonate with women that they can go out and get their power back. So thank you very much, Janie. I really, really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.